Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Finally, on a Monday night, on our regular scheduled time, we are back on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show. Like I said, right here on Blog Talk Radio, I am your host, for the most, who is tired as hell and still a little bit hungover for some apparent reason. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only, the cheating partner in crime.
It is I, Sean Black, in the building once again. Good day, good night, good evening, good morning. Whatever.
Oh. Apparently someone had too much iced tea last night during a Super Bowl gathering.
Yeah, a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm. All right, as always, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number for you to call for your questions, thoughts, or comments is 347-989-8402. Sean Black, I don't know where to start. But you know what? Let me not break the tradition. Are you ready to piss some people off?
Well, why not?
Well, before we go to our main topic, something I want to address from last week. It seemed like when this case has gone away, it seemed like there was more coming. I want to talk a little bit about Larry Nassar, who has got more sentencing. I mean, he got even more of a bigger punishment today.
Yeah.
Of 40 to 120 years for his sexual assaults on females and young girls. I know we discussed this last week, but the thing that caught my attention was during the court hearing, there was a father of three young ladies, and he asked the judge to have 5 minutes, then 2 minutes, then 1 minute with Larry Nassar in a room alone to, in quotations, talk. But the judge did not allow it. Father did what I like to say any real father would do when he saw Larry Nassar. Basically trying to jump over and attack him and beat the crap out of him. Now, Sean Black.
Yes.
If you was in this father's situation, knowing that you have three daughters who have been sexually assaulted by this doctor that you trusted to take care of your daughters while they was injured, we all know what's right and what's wrong. But let's talk about from our hearts and our brains and our emotions. How do you think you would react if you saw Larry Nassar in person in court?
That's a really good question. Now, I don't have any children, but I do have godchildren. And my oldest godchild is 21. So if I was to actually know that somebody that I loved and cared for was assaulted and molested, anybody that I look at as family or a close friend or whatever was the case. The father's name is Randall Margraves. If I was him or in his situation, I probably would do the same exact thing. It's very hard to show restraint to someone who didn't show any restraint himself on what he did. We're talking about a guy who is going to potentially be in jail on the record for 315 years. Between the 65 years that he got for the child porn charges and the two subsequent charges afterwards that have netted him a maximum of 175, there's that 175 and then there's the 125. He's not going anywhere. So if I knew that he's not going to go anywhere, and I know that the reaction of the court is they're going to restrain me, they probably not, and he's not going to get any punishment involved because they realize what he did. He was contrite with his apology, but if I was in his shoes, I would have probably done the exact same thing. And there are certain things that you just really can't just back away from. You have to put yourself in this situation. You're a father. You have two children. how on earth, I have an idea how you would react, but just to go on the record to get your actual opinion, what would you have done in Mr. Margraves' situation? Would you have shown more restraint, or would you have done the exact same thing?
Well, before I answer that, I have two more listeners. I have Phil the Fish, Matt Fisher, and Tisha. I will get to you guys in a minute. Hello.
No problem.
Hi, guys.
Hey, what's going on?
If I was that situation and knowing that, of course, we have to crack up jokes about this. The father, of course, is the white guy. He did it the right way. But as a black father, find a way to snuck in a gun and kill the bastard. Because that's how I think. I would kill the man easily. As my father always told me, if you touch my child, I take your life. If you kill one of my kids, I take two of your kids. In other words, you do something to me, you will get something even more worse. So if someone, if I find out someone touched my child or any of you guys' kids, I will buck wild. Because I always said, I will go to I will go to jail for my kids. That is a given fact. Because once again, as I said it many times on this program, our emotions take over our lives. At the spur of a moment, whether you're right or you're wrong, your emotions take over. Was it wrong for what the father did? Of course. We all know that. But sometimes the wrong thing is the right thing to do. If he was looking for some type of closure of getting his hands on the doctor for at least a minute and trying to choke him, maybe he don't want to kill him, but trying to take out some of his anger on the doctor, I don't see nothing wrong. As you told me yesterday, Sean Black, how 85% of the believe that the father was right, but 50% think the father was wrong. And as Sean Black said, maybe the 50% that thought the father was wrong are sexual predators or child molesters.
Exactly.
I don't see how anyone could see that as a wrong thing to do. But Tisha, as a mother of a beautiful daughter, what will be your reaction? And be honest to yourself. How will you react to something like that?
I'm thinking I'm going to knock that fool out. I would have did the same thing. But on the other hand, just like you said, you know, the emotion supersedes the intelligence. The guy's going to go to jail for a long time either way. But, you know, coming from a parent's point of view, that's going to be your first reaction, especially if you see that person who's done this to your child right in front of you. That's going to be a natural reaction.
You know what? You're right. It's one thing you heard it over and over or you see it in our court, but we see it in person. We see the monster himself. It does take over your mind. And like I said last time, and to Phil Fisher, everybody got upset with the doctor and everything, which I understand the doctor's a monster. But I don't blame the doctor completely. I blame the people, the staff, who knew about this. Well, not over one day, for years. Yes. So someone knew something about this, but maybe little or nothing was done about this. Go ahead.
You know, I'm not a dad, but I can assure you, you guys know that I have two sisters, you know, from my dad's first marriage, who my brother and I are close with. If it would have been my two sisters, that if he would have done that to her, or even my two nieces, my father would have killed the guy. He took his little pocket knife that he always used to carry with him, and he stabbed the guy right in the heart. I'm serious. My father would have killed him.
It was one of those cases that is very sad. It's like, I think why I brought this up is like, it's unbelievable how something like this could be going on for so long with, like I said, so little could be done about it, you know, till now. Especially with all this, everything that's going on with the Me Too moment, Tisha. Tisha. You know, and women empowerment, which, of course, I'm praising about. I just find it like, wow, you know, it's just crazy. And K-Dog's on the line. What do you like to say to this?
Well, good evening, everybody. What's up, Hot Rod, Sean, Phil the Fish Man, Phil the Fish Man Official.
Good evening.
And what is, and how are you doing, Miss Tisha?
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay, can we go on with the show and start with the introduction? Thank you.
Everybody?
It It almost sounds like Love Connection.
Oh my goodness.
The first time
y'all
are
stop it, guys.
Oh my goodness.
Show me.
You have to be, you have to be a gentleman. It doesn't have to be a gentleman. Mm-hmm. But anyway, on a serious note, I'm an uncle to three nieces. And let me tell you something.
That's got to be tough.
Yes, it is. Three nieces. Mm-hmm. Two are becoming young adults and one is a teenager, so you could only imagine. But however, as for that father's reaction, yes, his emotions got control of it, but can you blame him? Because you're sitting there and you're listening to your daughters describe what this pervert did to them. You can't even, words can't describe it, because Hot Rod, you as a father, how would you feel, heaven forbid?
Jesus. I know I'm a man with many words, but I have to be careful how I choose my words on this one, because it's on record.
Yeah, yeah.
But
we don't need to leave a trail behind, though.
No. Yeah.
But other than that, I thought we all agree that, you know, there's more people out there, and hope, you know, more people speak up about it. Not just girls and guys speak up about sexual assaults. And you know
right.
what? Go ahead.
It's because this right here was very serious. And you know, people were saying that yes, if they had to sit in a courtroom and they're looking at the person who did something like this, there's no telling what they would do to this person. There was no telling what they would do, because you can imagine the rage and the anger that their father felt when he said, "Give me 5 minutes alone with him in the room." You could imagine, because there are some people that would have, the father lunged at him, but there have been some court cases in which I've seen on television, in reality court, some fathers would throw a chair at him. You know, some people would like throw something at them, and you know, you want to kill the person. It's a rage inside of you. Yes, it's your emotions, because that's your child. Those are your daughters that this guy did this to, who he molested in the worst way. You know, the outrage that these parents feel.
Oh, well, yeah, it's crazy, but I need to move on to the next topic.
Right.
Before you even do that, we know that Larry Nassar in general is going to meet his end in jail, because we all know that rapists, child molesters, and people that do things to the elderly usually don't live long in jail. So he will find the justice that he deserves when he's
behind bars. Especially
when
he's in the general population.
Oh, yeah.
No, he won't be. I don't think he will be in the general population. He will be restrained and keep in a locked cell. I mean, locked cell under 24-hour surveillance, because, like you guys said, there will be a lot of guys be looking for him that will take care of business in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So, other than that, yesterday was the biggest day in NFL history. And for me, this is something personal I want to say: the worst Super Bowl game ever.
Yesterday.
Yesterday was Super Bowl 52. We all know the score. The Philadelphia Eagles, 41. New England Patriots, 33. All right, let's talk about what happened last night. John, I don't need the details of what happened from 6:30 to 10 o'clock. Well, that'll be a four-hour show with you. But other than that, come on, let me start off with Tisha. You're a big Patriots fan. And you know what? I'm not being biased at all, despite I hate both teams. I do admit it was a good game, but besides that, Tisha, how and why do you think the Patriots lost?
How and why?
Yeah.
First of all, I'm going to say I am a Patriots fan, but you have to respect the Eagles with how they played, especially like on defense. Defense won this game. That's what I think it is. Because the Patriots, you know, they I think it was after halftime, I'm not 100% sure, so you guys helped me out. They did come up with a lead, I think, you know, the 7-point lead or whatever it was. But the defense was, like, really on them. The defense was on them, and I feel like offense also took risky plays as well. They took great plays. So I'm going to say Eagles' defense is what beat the Patriots this year, especially they had a few quarterback sacks and things like that. So this year I'm going to just have to – you just have to respect it. I love my Patriots, but I also have to respect the Eagles this year. They did what they needed to do. They were the underdogs. A lot of people thought, you know, the Patriots once again was going to cheat and win. It didn't go like that. It was like an exciting game back-to-back. So I thought it was great. And then their quarterback, Nick Foles, awesome. I think he's great.
All right, so the first Matt Fisher. Why or how do you think the Eagles won? The biggest one, the biggest upset. Go ahead.
Before I answer that question, I got to ask you guys a question. I mean, listening to the game.
How can you answer a question if I'm asking you a question? Who the hell is
the answer your question.
I'm asking a question. Oh, man.
How stupid can you
risk?
It's going to be one of those shows, folks.
Was Chris Collinsworth sounding like an idiot at times on a lot of particular plays? And the reason why I'm asking that is because me and my brother, we're watching a game, and we're texting along, and everybody is, like, complaining, you know, that we're texting. These announcers, especially Chris Collinsworth, are getting on everybody's nerves. Did any of you guys happen to catch anything – you know, off about some of the plays he was saying, and especially on Zach Ertz's what proved to be the game winner?
No. I didn't have anything wrong with what Collinsworth said during the broadcast at all. As a matter of fact, he used reference from the Pittsburgh Steelers game where Jesse James, the tight end that had the touchdown catch that was called, that wasn't called a touchdown catch, he was making reference to that. That was a perfect call based on that call. They went back to the Ertz play, and then the other play with the wide receiver lost his ball. I think it was Aguilar that had the ball, started to lose possession of it, then pulled it in, and then stepped out of bounds before he controlled it. That's probably another play that should have been called incomplete. But he's going based on what the league did. The most inconsistent calls as far as that goes. But I'm going to give it to you, Phil, before I get into what I'm going to get into. So you go ahead.
Okay. All right. So an answer, and now I'm going to answer Rodney's questions.
Jesus
I personally,
Christ, 20 years
I
later.
Think, oh, God in heaven, such a baby.
Oh, man.
I think New England underestimated their opponent this time. I think they took them way too lightly. You know, they kept coming in with all the confidence in the world, thinking they could beat this Eagles team, and I was talking to people about it during the week. The Eagles have a great wide receiving core. I mean, between Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Aguilar, Brent Celek, the tight end. I can go on and on about that. But and also, I think one play that did change the momentum was Brandon Cooks getting knocked out by Malcolm Jenkins.
Oh, yeah.
That I think, turned the game around. And,
yeah.
And I think what Doug Peterson did going for it on how many fourths and one, especially on the play that basically changed the game before the half when Nick Foles caught the pass in the end zone. That was the game right there.
Yeah. And that was a very creative play, so that was really good.
I mean, Brady, they tried it earlier, and Brady couldn't catch the ball. So they figured, let's see what we can do, and they did, and it proved to change the momentum in the game. And also, I think, whenever New England would catch up or even take the lead, Philly scored right back. And that's what you got to do to a team like New England, because if you don't, they will make you pay.
And can I just say something, guys, real quick? You know, they had Chris Long, that was a former Patriots, and Blunt on there as well. So I think some of that also helped, especially with Chris Long kind of knowing how the Patriots were moving these kind of championship games. You know, so some of these guys also motivated to me, the Eagles.
Sound like we need to get Hot Rod some Robitussin or something.
John, it's me. It's me.
Oh, that's you. Well, we need to get some Robitussin.
That's you.
Holy crap.
Hot Rod coughing all the time. Well, all I got to say is about this game was that New England, you know, the Patriots thought that they could try to change the game the same way they've done in the past two Super Bowls. They thought that they could outsmart the Eagles. But the Eagles had their name and number. Once I saw that fumble, that fumble that they caused Tom Brady to lose the ball. That changed the play right there in the fourth quarter.
Okay, number one, Sean, fuck you. I am not coughing.
Okay.
Get that straight.
Okay.
And number two, okay, back to you, Sean.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. As Tisha said before, she thought that it was the defense that showed up. The defense showed up on two or three plays, as evidenced by the fact that, and I have never seen this before in a Super Bowl game or postseason game, that you've seen two teams play in a championship game and give up almost 1,200 yards of offense. That's what stuck out to me. There was absolutely no defense in this game at all. Nick Foles threw for almost 400 yards. Tom Brady threw for 505 yards and three touchdowns. And he threw a pick early in the game, which is something that the quote-unquote greats never do in the Super Bowl. But that also, here's the other thing. One sack, one punt. There was one punt in the entire game. And there was
now,
one sack. That's
a record.
Yeah.
In the Super Bowl. But also one sack, and that was the sack that K-Dog talked about, the one that set up that strip fumble toward the end of the game that pretty much almost sealed the game. Yes. Malcolm Butler not playing late in the game much at all. They kept him on special teams the whole time, which is weird.
What do you think they did that for? Well, that was one of my questions. What do you think they benched?
The benching, from what I've read, he had horrible something happened during the week of practice where it did not set well with Coach Belichick, and he decided to sit him down. Plus, they're also saying that he might have broken some team rules, disciplinary stuff. Although Belichick is saying that it wasn't a disciplinary reason, it was just a coaching thing. BS.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We know Belichick does things because he thinks they're going to help his team, and it completely backfired. A guy that went from Super Bowl hero against Seattle just a couple of years ago to being the GOAT. Well, not even a GOAT because he barely even played. He's played on special teams the whole time.
Right.
I can't also remember seeing as many missed extra points and two-point conversions as well. I don't want you to think about that. Usually an extra point is a given. Not in this game. And that was one of those things that really happened. But the bottom line is that the Eagles as a team, as far as you asking how the Eagles won this game, they won this game because Coach Doug Peterson had a sack of grapefruits. And he was the most focused and also the most aggressive. He did not back up from his play calling. And if you remember, he went for it on a fourth down late in the game and decided that fourth down play was going to be the call that was going to that scored the touchdown that Nick Foles, the quarterback, caught in the end zone. That took guts. And for all of the things that we've talked about here with the Patriots and all of the quote-unquote cheating and all the other stuff that has happened, most of the people that watched the game, for those that did watch it, were rooting for the Eagles, much more so because of their hatred for the Patriots. But yet, the Eagles, their fans, made a lot of people not want to watch the game, as evidenced by the ratings. Because the ratings were the lowest Super Bowl. Remember, Hot Rod, we talked about this like off-air. About this is probably going to be one of the lowest-rated Super Bowls out there. This is the lowest-rated Super Bowl in 7 years. This came close to the Steelers and the Cardinals Super Bowl, which got 98 or 99 million people. This one drew 103.5 million people. So think about that. That's 11 million less than 3 years ago, which was the highest-rated.
It's funny that you said it because you think about it. Since the NFL was going through, rating drought, because you figured it would have the two teams, the Eagles and the Patriots, quote unquote American teams, go at it and to be, like I said, one of the best Super Bowl games played with little defense and high offense. Now, does the legacy of Tom Brady tarnish right now that he lost again for the third time?
Yes.
I don't think so.
You know what? Tom Brady, I'm not going to say that he's going to set a record for being a legend, because let me tell you something. This is someone who lost how many Super Bowls? And, you know, you just, in my opinion, I mean, and I'm not all biased aside, I could just say, hey, listen, look, you just won a Super Bowl by luck in the fourth quarter. That's it.
Well, to go against your argument, Tom Brady been to the Super Bowl 8 times. He won 5 out of 8. Think about that.
So I can't say that's good. It's just
that's
like in
good.
Basketball. Michael Jordan went to 6 finals, and he won all 6.
You know, I'm sorry. I have to cut you right there, K-Dog, because
someone's echoing badly.
Yeah. Does somebody have the radio on, or the audio?
Yeah, the audio's really, yeah, it's bouncing off, man. I'm hearing you like you're in the mountain or something.
Yeah. Okay. Now, to cut you off on that argument, and this is something that happens throughout all sports, and this is something that has to actually stop. Everybody continues to compare every other winner in every other sport to Michael Jordan. And it has to stop. And the reason why I say that is, one, nobody compares to Michael Jordan as far as just being an actual winner, a champion, et cetera. And there are very few people that have won multiple championships and have never lost. So in that lofty goal, we have to stop that. So if you compare Tom Brady, you can compare Tom Brady to other winners within his sport.
Like no, I wasn't comparing. I was just saying okay, like Terry Bradshaw, sure. But I was just saying, like champions, I was just going through sports in general, not just, you know, football, but I was just saying sports in general. Like, you can't say that, you know, he's the greatest, you know, if he's been to all those Super Bowls and only won, like, 5 of them.
Hey,
I mean, come on now.
He got something that a lot of great quarterbacks have not ever earned a ring, but Tom Brady got 5 rings. He's been to the big dance 8 times.
There's only one other player in NFL history that has 5 rings, and that's Charles Haley. So that's more than luck.
Okay.
It's more than luck. When you have champions, you have to lose. You do have to lose games. You can't win them all, and then it's how you came back from those. So I still think he's a great quarterback.
Yeah.
As a friend of ours, Hot Rod, said one time in our text thread, they said, I guess if you come from the NFC East, that's the only time the Patriots won't win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If I am correct now, the NFC East is the only division to have all its teams win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's true. Big Will, you're in the house.
Hey, what's going on, Hot Rod? How you doing, man?
All right.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on,
hey,
man?
What's up?
Nothing, man. I mean, I gotta disagree with the fact that, you know, people are, like, trying to, like, you know, take away from Tom Brady's, you know, legacy, being that he's 5-3 in the Super Bowl, and, you know, you want to say that, you know, he won 2 championships by luck. I mean, at the same time, he also lost 2 championships by luck as well, because Eli Manning will never complete those passes again. And I mean, it's not a discredit to Eli Manning. It was more of a discredit to the people that he was throwing the football to. For me, I think Tom Brady cemented his legacy in the last 2 Super Bowls. You go back to the fact that he had to bring the Patriots back against the best secondary in football in Super Bowl 49. And then you go back to the fact that no team had ever overcome a deficit more than 10 points in the Super Bowl to win prior to last year. And there was no other quarterback in the NFL that could have done that except for Tom Brady. Tom Brady did not lose that game last night. Tom Brady was done in by his defense, and Tom Brady was done in by his head coach. I don't know why Bill Belichick decided to put Malcolm Butler on the bench, but you figure Malcolm Butler's presence on the field would have changed a lot that the Patriots were going to do on defense. Philadelphia was 10 of 16 on third down last night. That's on the defense. The Patriots got no sacks versus the Eagles last night. Tom Brady threw for more than 500 yards. You can't simply sit back and say, well, you know, Tom Brady is 5-3, but at the same time, let's look at the whole lexicon. No other quarterback has made 8 Super Bowls. No other quarterback has sacrificed for the sake of his team like Tom Brady. I mean, you look at all these quarterbacks now, they want to go out there, they want to be the highest paid guys. Tom Brady takes less money in order for the Patriots to put and keep people around him. And I mean, the fact that this dude has made 8 Super Bowls, I can honestly say you will never see that again, because all these quarterbacks, first and foremost, they're out there for the top dollar. And, you know, I agree. I'm not sure. I don't know the gentleman's name, but I agree with you. You know, where people, you know, are getting caught up with, like, okay, comparing, you know, everybody to Michael Jordan. It's not that simple. That's number one. Number two, you know, winning championships, it's not about one person. It's about the team. Great players don't win championships. Great teams don't win championships. Great organizations win championships. That's what it takes. So I think Tom Brady's legacy has already been cemented, and anything that he does going forward in the next few years is simply going to add to that.
Yeah. Okay. I have a question about the offseason, because, you know, since Nick Foles, excuse me, is the MVP. Now, you know what my next question is, Sean Black. Philadelphia Eagles next season, who the quarterback should be. But you know that it could be a quarterback controversy right away.
Not at all. And it's as simple as this. If Carson Wentz, starting quarterback for the Eagles, is in the remote sense healthy, he is your starter, period. End of discussion, no questions asked. Because right now, the same thing probably would have happened if Wentz was playing. The score might not have been as high, there might not have been as many yards, but I think the same result probably would have happened. Wentz has a team built around him with those wide receivers, with that running game, when it is actually working, will do well. Foles came in, knows the offense. As a matter of fact, Doug Peterson went to the plays that worked for Nick Foles when they brought Nick Foles in, that worked when he was back with the Eagles in 2013, and used that to his advantage to help him out. Foles, if he's got, I think he's got a year left on his contract. If Wentz is not healthy, you keep Foles on as your starter, and then when Wentz is healthy enough, you bring him in. That's the way it is.
Phil?
I agree. Wentz has to be your starter, and there's no doubt about that. And like Sean just said, if he cannot stay healthy, you bring in Nick Foles.
Okay, so Tisha, do you see Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Rob coming back next season? Or you see some type of breakup coming up?
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear you, Rodney.
Oh, do you see Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and Rob coming back next season? Or you will see a little bit of a breakup after this loss?
No. They're going to take the loss, and they're going to come back next year.
Spoken like a true
confident.
Yeah, I know what it is. But Big Will, what do you think?
In regards to the Eagles or the Patriots, which question?
The Patriots.
I think everybody comes back. I mean, typically, you know, after a loss, you know, there's frustration there naturally. I think the Patriots have to find a way to regroup. However, they're the best team in the NFL that, in regards to that, because the Patriots, under Bill Belichick, they take a college football team mentality, is that due to the salary cap, you basically have to recruit every year, and you know that you're going to lose guys. after last night, I don't see any scenario where Malcolm Butler comes back and plays for the Patriots again.
No, he's gone.
Right.
He's a free agent at the end of the season anyway. So.
Exactly. And, I mean, honestly, the writing was on the wall once they gave Stephon Gilmore that big contract and, you know, last offseason. And Malcolm Butler, if you're Malcolm Butler, you're like, wait a minute. I made a big play to win you a Super Bowl, and this is how you thank me. It's crazy. So I think he's gone.
But business is business. Remember that. That's how business is.
Yeah, that's how,
right.
It is. That's how it goes down.
No, business is business. Business is business, don't get me wrong. And, I mean, it's not like, you know, Malcolm Butler was going to get Deion Sanders money. No, but, I mean, I think the Patriots should have done right by him. You didn't have to go, like, overboard and pay him, but just, like, you know, show him some type of respect. But then, you know, you bring in Stephon Gilmore, so that didn't happen. And then, you know, they're losing their two coordinators. They're losing Josh McDaniels and they're losing Matt Patricia. So that does speak for something. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how New England bounces back. They're going to get Julian Edelman back. And I think that's a big piece to it because I said all season long, at some point they were going to miss not having Julian Edelman. And it happened last night because when Brandon Cooks went out, that changed the dynamic of their offense because he was their deep threat. And I think having a guy like Julian Edelman really would have helped them last night. But, you know, I mean, credit to Danny Amendola. He did a great job this year, you know, in stepping up, as was the case for Chris Hogan when he was healthy. But I don't see the Patriots going anywhere. They're still the best team in the AFC East. So you know right off the bat, they're going to get at least 10 wins. Now, it's going to be up to the Pittsburghs and the Jacksonvilles of the world. Are you going to be able to get enough wins so that you can get home field advantage? Because, you know, every year the Patriots at least get a first-round bye. So, you know, in order to get past them in the to get to the Super Bowl, you have to go to Foxborough. And everybody in the AFC is not built for that. So, honestly, right off the bat, you can pencil in New England for another 11-5, 12-4 season.
Oh, gosh, I'm going to have to listen to Tisha's mouth for another 3 more years? That's too painful, boy.
Really do.
But, all right, but one more question, Big Will.
I forgot
what the Eagle – was that a catch? If you know what I'm talking about, that it seemed like he stepped out of bounds.
Right.
Was that a catch in your opinion? Because Chris Collinwood would give an idea about that. He was sounding confused like women. One day is a catch, another day is not a catch. Was that a catch in your opinion?
I mean, honestly, I got to say since Dez Bryant in 2014, I've given up as far as, you know, what is a catch and what isn't in the catch in the National Football League. I mean, don't get me wrong. There were some calls that were missed last night. That was one of them. You know, you can also make the case for the non-pass interference on Rob Gronkowski by Jalen Mills and that fourth down for New England in the second quarter. You can also, you know, make the case that there was an illegal formation for the Philadelphia Eagles on their touchdown when Trey Burton connected with Nick Foles. But I mean, generally in the Super Bowls, you know, the refs, they stay out of the way. They let the guys play. I think Philly had 6 penalties last night. New England only had 1, and it was a false start on Rob Gronkowski. So, I mean, at the end of the day, there were a couple of, like, you know, what-if moments. You're always going to get those. But I put that loss for the Patriots on their defense. And, again, I put it right in the lap of Bill Belichick because there's no way in the world that you can go out there and say, you know what, we're going to beat a team that's going to pass the majority of the game and not put Malcolm Butler out there. I can't buy any excuse. I mean, the bottom line is if you want to discipline somebody for something, fine, do it in another time. This is a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like you got a responsibility to the other 52 guys on that team. If you want to be a disciplinarian about something, you got the rest of the year to do that. And, again, Malcolm Butler's probably not going to be back for that team anyway. But the bottom line is that move changed the entire outcome of that game right there more than – any other drop pass, any missed field goal, any extra point, anything else that the Patriots did. Malcolm Butler being on the sideline changed everything.
It changed the mood of the team, but it's also, if you think about it, if you remember years ago when the Patriots played the Colts, you remember 4th and 22?
Right.
It's that same kind of mentality that sometimes Belichick outcoaches himself, thinking that some of his more unorthodox coaching moves are what's going to make him arise above everything else and win a game. And
yes.
This is mm-hmm. one of those times where it really
right.
came back to bite him in the rear.
Yes.
Nothing he could do about that.
And the defense just fell asleep at the defense fell asleep at the end.
Well, they got tired. Yeah.
Yeah. Did somebody defense in this game?
And all I gotta say is like this is that, you know, after all, remember this is the big game. This is the Super Bowl. You're playing to win a championship.
Right.
You can't slack up on that.
Phil, you want something else? You want to add something else before I move on?
Now I don't know how true this is with Malcolm Butler, but from what I was seeing on social media, they were saying he broke a team curfew and he was caught with marijuana. I don't know how true that is or not. Can any of you guys elaborate on that?
I think it's one of those things that we never going to know. With the way Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots are, they don't want to tell me anything. But as you can tell, you can see Malcolm's expression that he was upset. And you can tell that he was being punished on the sideline. Like, why have him on the sideline like that?
I'll say this. This is the first time hearing about that. If that's true, that's one thing. But at the end of the day, you can say whatever you want. I'm sure that Rob Gronkowski was not 100% healthy, and they quote-unquote said that he passed the concussion protocol, and the Patriots pushed him out there. So, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's kind of like no honor among thieves, you know?
Sure. Yeah. You know what, that's the perfect statement for that entire deal.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, now, one more thing about the Super Bowl. You know, Sean and I, we predicted this. And this is where white privilege come out. As we predicted in Philadelphia, the reason why we cannot stand Philly fans, because Philly fans are very rowdy. So after the Super Bowl, Philly and New England, they both have their little get-together out in the streets and have, their own party. Climbing on light poles, tearing them down, breaking awnings.
Which made no sense.
Stores, you know, setting off fires. So basically, there was a riot last night.
Yeah.
In both Philly and New England. Keisha.
Yep.
As you know, us black people, there will be corner thugs. I'm referring to the Baltimore riot. The media had called the black people thugs, all type of names. Last night, do you hear that much news besides social media? Anything about the riots or the fires that happened in Philadelphia and New England?
Yeah, and I actually saw some news clippings with it when they were sitting on top of the awning and the awning fell and you've seen them burning fires. And actually it was a mixture of blacks and whites, which is interesting. So it wasn't just black people doing it. It was a mixture. And I think they really overreacted. Don't burn down your city. You guys just won a championship. There's
exactly.
no need for all of that. You're really exaggerating it. You could have celebrated in a different way. Throw confetti, I don't know. Litter the street with confetti. But that was a little extra.
Let me just say it like this.
Yeah.
Philadelphia has the most abusive sports fans between the Phillies, the Flyers, and the Eagles. And if your team has a courtroom in the bowel of your stadium with the jail, then you know what? You really have an abusive fan base. And the sad thing is the idiots aren't going to change.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is the thing. This is what, you know, pardon me for being biased, but you see, New York fans, when we win a championship, we'll party in the bar, we'll party in the streets. That's it. That's all you got to do. Why all the burning? Why are breaking glass, breaking stores, causing problems? I mean, standing on the idiots who stood on the awning of that hotel and seeing that fall, I'm like, are you serious? Come on now. That made no sense. You could dance in the streets. You could celebrate. But there's no need for all the wilding out. That just makes no sense for me.
And then you also have to think about how many people today were out of work when they broke the Macy's glass and things like that. How
exactly.
many people were out of work with all this nonsense? That's another thing. So
there has always been a disproportionate view of police when it comes to certain things in certain cities. When it comes to, depending on what it is and who is the police are being used to police against. Well, we talked about the Ferguson riots when they happened. We talked about the Baltimore riots when they happened.
Yeah,
Philadelphia
yeah.
in general has had a history where the police have gone above and beyond when it comes to certain areas of when it comes to race. I'll give you one instance.
Yeah.
There's an article that was written by Evan Grossman of the New York Daily News. It's a really good article about the same subject you were just talking about. He brought up that there, in 1985, the Pennsylvania State Police actually dropped a bomb on black activists that were bunkered
yes.
in a West Pennsylvania neighborhood.
Yes, I remember that. That was
were
me.
Destroyed. 11 people
mm-hmm.
died, including 5 children. The reason
yes.
they were protesting peacefully, but they were bunkered in a neighborhood as they were protesting. That's what that happened. What we saw yesterday, last night, this morning, we saw people diving off of awnings. We saw people
yes.
throwing trash cans in windows. We saw a car
turning
flip
over cars. Yes.
We saw 2 horses punched in the face.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of things that have happened, and it puts a shine on the Philadelphia fans. Because the Philadelphia fans have that reputation of being animal house.
Rowdy.
Wild,
right.
rowdy, anything goes. And they have used the excuse of not winning a championship since 1960 as the impetus for that. As Phil stated and as K-Dog stated, in the New York City area, where there have been sports teams that have had droughts, specifically the New York Rangers, who in 94
yeah.
hadn't won a championship in 54 years. And I watched all those fans surround Madison Square Garden and celebrate,
dancing.
High five, and cheer each other and say, let's go Rangers. I did not once see
yes.
a fight break out. I did not see a Molotov
nope.
cocktail thrown.
Even,
I didn't see glass broken.
Even
I
when the
see
Giants
anyone going,
won.
I didn't see anybody
when,
going to anybody's neighborhood and
nope.
destroy property.
And the thing is, seven days later, we proved it again that we know how to act. I mean, when the Knicks lost Game 7 of the NBA Finals later that year, we didn't do anything stupid.
No, nobody did anything stupid.
So what you guys
are
also saying is due to our police being prepared for this? I said, would you guys say that also for like the NYPD being prepared for a win, just in case? Why wasn't Philly prepared for? Why wasn't Philly's law enforcement also prepared for a win, just in case, knowing that they have that kind of stigma on top of them? You know what I mean?
Well, you know what?
It was. Go ahead.
I don't think this. You know what? I don't think that law enforcement expected things to get that hot in the streets.
What?
I think they expected people to celebrate. No, listen to me. Listen
Kato,
to what
I'm
saying.
Sorry, Kato, I don't know. What are you smoking tonight?
No,
no
I'm
not.
No, no, no.
Let Kato describe
listen.
His point, and then we'll
let me,
see.
Let me
describe
my point.
No, 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 Kato, I got to stop you right there.
No, 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 no. Let me just I didn't finish yet. I didn't finish yet.
Kato, go ahead.
Listen. Listen. What I'm saying is, yes, there was going to – listen, the police were going to be there. But here's the other thing. Did they expect the crowd to wild out the way they did? Did they expect it? You got to remember the police presence. That's what I'm saying. There was – yes, there has to be police presence when people are celebrating, but I'm sure that the police didn't even think straight because there were not there couldn't have been a lot of police out there if they gave the people a chance to go ahead and burn things up, if you understand.
No,
what I'm saying.
Saying with their reputation, knowing their reputation already, they should have been prepared for something like this a little bit
yeah,
more.
Absolutely.
Just like with New York City, when things happen like this, they're ready their first thing New York City thinks is terrorists. So we're going to have our law enforcement out there,
right.
And we're still going to celebrate. You get what I'm saying? So it
yeah.
should be the
I,
same
hold on.
Kind
right,
of thinking.
Hold on. I got to give it to Big Will. Big Will, what's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, honestly, they should have been more prepared because, I mean, number one, all they had to do is look back and see how the fans reacted when the Eagles, you know, beat the Vikings to get to the Super Bowl. And, I mean, they already, you know, the city officials already took the message to, you know, go out there and, you know, put grease or whatever on the pole.
Crystal,
I mean,
the posts, yes.
Right.
And that's what I was saying. The police were not prepared.
And I mean, I've never seen a situation where you're talking about, a city having to do that, you know, in just in case in preparations for a championship. But I mean, you talk about New York. I've seen New York teams win. I mean, even when the Giants, you know, pulled off that upset of the Patriots 10 years ago, you know, people celebrated, but they did it, you know, in a quote-unquote classy way. I mean, the Yankees had, you know, their drought from 1978 to 1996. I mean, the Yankees probably have one of the bigger fan bases in the New York area, and people didn't go crazy. The one thing that I do worry about with New York in that aspect is, you know, if it was a situation, if you see the Jets, Mets, or Knicks win, because it's been so long, and who knows how people are going to react. But at the same time, I mean, there is a double standard. I mean, we've already known that when it comes to race in this country. And, I mean, that double standard, you know, once again, you know, showed up last night. Because, I mean, you go back to, you know, Ferguson. I'll take it back a step further, you know, a couple of decades ago with Crown Heights in New York City as well, where it's a situation where, you know, if, you know, and let's not dance around the floor in this. I mean, if you're black and if you're in a black community, you know, the cops are going to, you know, react to you. You know, a little bit different in that situation. But I will
You're
tell
right
you
about
this.
That.
But I will tell you this at the same time. When it comes to situations at sporting events, I've seen police in both New York and California not play. I was at Shea Stadium during the final weekend before, you know, it got torn down with the Mets, and there were unarmed cops and there were uniformed officers, and they were walking through the stadium, and they basically gave you the look like, you know something, try something if you want to. And if anybody was stupid enough to do something that weekend, well, you know what, that's on them. I went to, you know, a game in San Diego once, and unfortunately I had to sit back and watch two guys get into a fight. The cops were right there. Cops took their IDs and were like, you know what, you're never coming back into this place. That's it. I was just going to say, unfortunately, in Philadelphia, you know, this type of behavior is tolerated. I mean, like I don't know the gentleman's name, but like you said before, where the situation, where you said, you know what, if you have to put a jail in a stadium, that, I mean, that's kind of messed up. I mean, other cities have it too, but I think it's more, you know, known about in Philadelphia. I know somebody personally that as a kid wore a Cowboys jacket to Veterans Stadium, and you had grown men pelting him with snowballs. And this was somebody's child. So, I mean, what we see out of them is absolutely disgusting. And I think it was a situation where it was accepted by the powers to be in that city because they should have known that this was going to happen. But, I mean, again, this is a place where you have to live, and this is a place where you have to work. And at some point, you know, common sense has to come into play. And honestly, with stuff like that, that's why I stay away from sporting events.
I want to think about this. Just to let you know how severe this is. There were fans in Philly last night that stormed City Hall with beer kegs.
Yes,
and
they did.
And lost City Hall. Can you imagine if anybody, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, would have stormed City Hall in New York? What the,
oh, the police would be on them.
Been?
Like, let me tell you something. The NYPD would be out there in full force grabbing people. They wouldn't even be they wouldn't even get close to City Hall. Once the police would have seen the rowdy crowd, they would have handled it.
And
okay,
that,
but overall,
that's what, yeah, yeah.
overall, I understand what everybody's saying. But at the same time, let's keep in mind that everybody has some good points. We all know Philly is crazy. But there's probably so much that the police could do at one time. Their police department in Philadelphia is definitely different from New York. We're more organized.
Oh, no question. There's no doubt about that.
Philly is a dump city. I'm not going to lie about that. I have family down there. It's a dump city. Maybe they don't know how to handle the situation. So
no,
that's why
New
York is more organized.
I don't buy it.
Yeah, but when
Hold on. Let me talk. Let the king talk now. Philly is not as organized as New York is. The people down there have less common sense than New Yorkers. I have family down there, just like some of y'all. So maybe there was police protection, but you have millions of people out in the streets. At the same time, they probably don't care. Like, you know what? This is your city. If you want to destroy, go ahead. Go destroy your job. Go destroy your life. Maybe that's what Philly wants. We all know Philly's going to burn whether they won or they lost anyway. So what's the difference? That's all I have to say. Go ahead.
I think that actually makes a little more sense than any other argument from the sense that I think the police took a hands-off approach and allowed
people
to get away with up to a point, their celebratory ways, and et cetera, et cetera. But the optics of this whole thing is that a lot of the people, a majority of the people that were there are going to be looked at as privileged, white, football
yes,
fans
they will be.
That had too much
that's
to drink,
what,
drink and were allowed to go out in the city and raise holy hell. And there were no repercussions. When you hear about all of this and you only hear that three people were arrested out of, like you said, not right. Millions of people were in the streets. Only three people got arrested after all of that chaos. When you look at some of the other things that have happened in other neighborhoods and other people, African-American or any other minority, depending on, even if it's a peaceful protest, I have seen peaceful protests with half as many people, and people get arrested for doing nothing. There was a guy that was in Ferguson that started a bonfire. We all know that. I think his name is Josh Williams. He's serving 8 years for starting a bonfire, where these guys have set fires at a sporting complex. Guys have rushed City Hall. Even more so, people rushed City Hall with beer and a beer keg. Didn't get anywhere near the amount of attention. That's all I got to say on that.
No.
Okay, we have 2 minutes left. All right, I need to talk about this. Start with Big Will. What do you think about the biggest commercial last night? Eli Manning and Odell Beckham.
Well, I mean, there's always a commercial that's going to, you know, surprise people. And I think that was it right there. I mean, you know, you've heard, you know, people for over the years, you know, talk about, you know, Eli, you know, like his teammates at least talk about how Eli's a funny guy. He'll do this, he'll do that. And I think that showed him in a different light last night. Now, I'll tell you like this. With all of that said, the Giants need to put up this year. I mean, they need to get some more wins because I mean, when you do stuff like that, you've got to have some cachet to back it up. I mean, Eli's had the pass cachet. We know about the playmaker that Odell Beckham can be, but when you do stuff like that, it's either put up or shut up. So they got to put up.
Okay, 20 seconds, quick, Bill. What do you think about last night's commercial?
Oh, I was laughing my head off. I thought it was funny.
Tisha?
I thought it was funny.
K-Dog, you thought it was funny too?
Yeah, it was funny, man. It had me laughing.
Best commercial of the entire Super Bowl. Best commercial, period.
And Sean, what do you think about Kevin Hart not coming on the stage last night at the trophy ceremony?
Alcohol is a hell of a drug. That's the best way to put it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
fly, Eagles, fly.
What else?
Oh my goodness!
Eagles go burn in hell. Patriots go burn in hell. Let's go Giants. 2018/19.
That's
all the
right.
way. Big yes. Will, K Dog, Tisha, Phil, and Sean. Thank you guys so much for another crazy show. Can't wait to do this again next week.
Hey,
yeah,
you're welcome.
Be good, guys.
And ladies and gentlemen.
Tomorrow night. tomorrow night. Sean Black and I will be back around at 10:30 to do another half an hour show about some other topics. Thank you all, and have a good night.
Be good, guys.
All right, later, everyone.
Pleasure was all yours.
Well, that's right.
You know what? I'm in the mood for a drink right now for some reason.
You are? Really?
Always.
Good grief. We're close to 150. We're close to 100.